translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, I have briefly given you my instructions. Now you will get all details about them from Sharup Damodar. Please repeat. I have briefly given you my instructions. Now you will get all details about them from Swarup Damodar. So this chapter is entitled as Lord Chaitanya Meets Raghunath Das Goswami. So I will briefly discuss the background. Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of a very, very wealthy person. His father's income those days, that means about 500 years ago, was 2 million rupees. And how much, what was the value of a rupee? Like with 1 rupee, you could buy 100 kilos of rice. So you can well imagine how, what 2 million rupees or 20 lakhs rupees a year actually meant. Probably gold was costing, I have seen gold costing 75 rupees bhari. Bhari is 12 grams. 12 grams. So yeah, it was about, in England also, what was 1 pound actually? 1 pound was a gold coin. Now it only has the gold color, but it was, I think pound used to be called as guinea. 1 guinea was 1 pound. Was 1 guinea 1 pound? Huh? Or 21 shillings. And how many shillings to a pound? 20. So almost 1 guinea is 1 pound. So, we can't even imagine what it actually meant, that kind of money. Like, it can be counted in not in millions, but in billions in today's calculation. And anyway, he was the son of such a wealthy person. And he was not only the son of such a rich man, he was the only male child in the whole family. His father were two brothers. His father and had another brother, but the other brother, Govardhan Majumdar, did not have any son. So he was the only successor to the family wealth. And he was literally, they were the kings, and not only kings, a very, very wealthy family. And Raghunath Das Goswami became attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haridas Thakur used to come to their house because Haridas Thakur had some relationship or intimacy with their family priest. And Haridas Thakur used to visit their house. And in this way, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, from his young days, became acquainted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings. And his dream was to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu someday. It was not very far away. His ancestral home was not too far away from Navadvip, Mayapur. It was only about 50 kilometers. Maybe if you took the straight road, it would have been even shorter. Maybe it would be about 30-35 kilometers. But those days, 35 kilometers also was a long distance. And so Raghunath Das Goswami's dream was to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one day he got the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And those days when somebody took sannyas, that meant that no one would ever see him. He would just have no connection with his family and friends, and he would just go away wandering from one place to another, from places of different places of pilgrimage to pilgrimage. And so this way, a sannyasi, when somebody took sannyas, that means he severed all his relationship with everyone else, and no one would ever get to see him. Like, for example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother, Vishwarup, took sannyas, and no one saw him. Only while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to South India, and he went to Pandharpur in Maharashtra, there he got the news that his brother actually left his body. But he didn't leave his body. What actually happened is he merged with Nityananda Prabhu. Vishwarup merged with Nityananda Prabhu. That's why Sachimata used to consider Nityananda Prabhu as a son. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to consider Nityananda Prabhu as his brother. There's of course another consideration, another way to look at it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna and Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram. So in that way, they are brothers. But in this way also, because Vishwarup was an expansion of Balaram, Shankarshan, so he merged with Nityananda Prabhu. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, everyone was completely heartbroken. And when Raghunath Das Goswami got the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he was so heartbroken that he felt that he would never ever meet him. But Nityananda Prabhu tricked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and brought him back to Shantipur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right after taking sannyas, he just ran towards Vrindavan. And Nityananda Prabhu and Chandrasekhar Acharya and another person. So they were Gopinath. So they were following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for 3 days and three nights, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran non-stop. No stopping for eating, no stopping for drinking. He just ran and ran and ran. But by Nityananda Prabhu's arrangement, Jogamaya's arrangement, Jogamaya happens to be a potency of Balaram. So we can here also we can see who is the Lord of Jogamaya. So Nityananda Prabhu made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu run through northern part of Bengal for 3 days. And he just went round and round and round. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that Nityananda Prabhu actually Nityananda Prabhu brought him near the Ganges, near Shantipur, and the other side of Shantipur, that's called Ambika Kalna. And there, Nityananda Prabhu saw some cowherd boys tending cows in the field. So he told the boys, look, when this person comes and asks, what is this place? Tell them that this is Vrindavan. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing the cowherd boys and the cows in the field, his remembrance of Vrindavan awakened. And he asked these cowherd boys, what is this place? Can you tell me? What's the name of this place? And they said, this is Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda, we came to Vrindavan. Nityananda Prabhu said, yes, we came to Vrindavan. And see, there is Jamuna. And he pointed to Ganga. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately jumped into the river. Now in the meantime, Nityananda Prabhu sent a message to Advaita Acharya and told him to come in a boat with some dry clothes for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just left with only one piece of cloth. He did not have any change of clothes. So he knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take bath and then he would need some dry clothes. So Advaita Acharya came in a boat, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Advaita Acharya and asked him, "Advaita, how come you came here? How come you came to Vrindavan?" Now Advaita Acharya said that actually this is Ganga and this is the other side is Shantipur. I just came being instructed by Nityananda Prabhu to come here. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very, very upset. He told Nityananda, "Why did you lie to me? You told me that this is Vrindavan, you told me this is Jamuna. What's happening?" Then Nityananda Prabhu said, "No, I didn't lie, because wherever you are, that's Vrindavan." So, and after merging in Prayag, Ganga and Jamuna, although apparently are flowing together, but actually Jamuna is flowing on the right-hand side and Ganga is flowing in the... Jamuna is flowing on the left-hand side and Ganga is flowing on the right-hand side. So, since you took bath in the left-hand side, it is Jamuna. I never lied. And so then Advaita Acharya took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu to his house on the other side of the river. And the news spread that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur in the house of Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, no, I'm sorry, Advaita Acharya sent message to Shachi Mata that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to Shantipur, because Shachi Mata was very, very heartbroken. She was completely devastated after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sannyas. So she was informed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and she should come to see him, and all the residents of Navadvip should come. So all the residents of Navadvip came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so dear to them that when they got the news, first of all, they're completely heartbroken when they heard that he took sannyas and left home. One night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just left home and he went to Katwa and took sannyas from Kesha Bharati. And then he wanted to go to Vrindavan, but Nityananda Prabhu very mercifully brought him back. He knew how heartbroken the residents of Navadvip would be due to their separation from him. So he was brought back to Shantipur. At that time, Raghunath Das Goswami also got the news that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur in the house of Advaita Acharya. So he went to see him. He thought that would be an opportunity to have his darshan. And because his father was very well known, very wealthy person, and he was also very close to Advaita Acharya. He was his father. So when Advaita Acharya got to know that Raghunath Das Goswami came, he brought him to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, there were so many people that Advaita Acharya's wall broke. The house, the surrounding wall of the house, there were so many people gathered there, and so many people wanted to come and see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They broke the wall. But Raghunath Das Goswami was a very special person, and he was treated also very specially. So he was brought to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he expressed his desire to go with him. He said, "I will also go with you." Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him, "No, you stay at home, and there's no need to no need to display artificial renunciation. Jathajogya bishoye markat bairagya na karoho lok dekhaiya jathajogya bishoye bhunjo anashakta hoiya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the instruction that there is no need to display markat bairagya. Markat means monkey, and vairagya means renunciation. Apparently monkeys are very renounced. They don't wear clothes. They live in the forest. They eat fruits and roots. They're vegetarians. Most of the monkeys are vegetarians. But can a monkey be considered to be renounced? No. Prabhupada mentioned each monkey has 12 wives. So, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him not to display this kind of artificial renunciation. So artificial renunciation apparently looks like renounce, but internally they're attached. So that is called monkey renunciation, artificial renunciation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Raghunath Das Goswami not to go that way. But jathajogya bishoye bhunjo anashakta hoiya. With a mood of total detachment, you just indulge in whatever is necessary. Just accept whatever is necessary. So, this is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yukta Vairagya, not Falgu Vairagya or Markat Vairagya. And Falgu Vairagya also is same as Markat Vairagya. Falgu means artificial. It is not there, but it appears to be there. There is no renunciation in the heart. So, Krishna also instructed in Bhagavad Gita on the same point that if sarvendriyani sangyamya ya aste manasa smaran indriyarthan bimuratma mithachara suchyate. Sarvendriyani sangyamya, apparently it seems that they have controlled their senses, all the senses, sangyamya. Sarva indriyani, all the senses have been controlled or withdrawn. Ya abat, ya aste manasa smaran. Apparently they have withdrawn their senses, external senses, but internally they are dwelling on the objects of the senses. And indriyarthan bimuratma, for the sake of sense gratification. So their renunciation is just an artificial thing. Their withdrawing of the senses from the objects of the senses is just an artificial display. But internally they are attached. So that is called mithachara. That is falsity, false activity or deception. That is cheating, deceiving. So, time and time again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed that, and through Raghunath Das Goswami, Prabhupada pointed out that through Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually established the principle of renunciation. Through different intimate associates, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed different aspects of his teachings. And he came to teach Vairagya Vidya, to teach the science of renunciation. And that science of renunciation is Nija Bhakti Yogam, his own devotional service to his lotus feet. Like they are non-different actually, they are two sides of the same coin. Devotional service and renunciation is two sides of the same coin. How? As one develops his devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he loses his interest for sense gratification. He loses his attachment to the material nature. As one becomes attracted to the spiritual nature, he becomes averse to the material nature. So there is no need to artificially try to become detached or renounced. It will happen. as a natural consequence of development of devotion. Bhakti Parishanu Bhava Viraktir Annatracha. Just as one develops bhakti to Paresha, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Viraktir, aversion, will automatically develop Annatracha to everything else. Attachment to Krishna will automatically lead to detachment to matter. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach that. Vairagya Vidya, Nija Bhakti Yoga. The science of renunciation, which is actually his own devotional service. And Shikhartham Ekah Purusha Purana, in our teach that, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharirodhari, as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Raghunath Das Goswami, actually all the Goswamis are the personification of renunciation. Takta Turna Mashesha Mandalapati Srenim Shada Tuchyavat. These personalities, these Goswamis, who are very, very opulent individuals. Ashesha Mandalapati Srenim. They were associating, or Mandalapati, the kings and monarchs were eager to have the association. They're constantly associating with these very, very exalted kings and monarchs, very materially, very opulent individuals. Like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were the finance minister and the chief minister of the king of Bengal, Nawab Hussain Shah. And Hussain Shah was so attached to them that he used to consider Sanatana Goswami as his elder brother. And when Sanatana Goswami told him that he wanted to resign from his service as a minister, the king just refused. He said, how can that be? He said that your younger brother is a bandit. He identified himself as a bandit, as a robber. And you are the only one who is capable of rule the kingdom, run the kingdom. And that's what you are doing. I don't have the ability. I am good at war. I like to fight. But when it comes to properly run the kingdom, I can't. And that's what you are doing. So if you leave, what's going to happen? But Sanatana Goswami insisted, no, I can't continue in this position as a minister, please grant me the leave, and I just want to be engaged in spiritual activities. But Hussain Shah, when he could not convince Sanatana Goswami to continue, Hussain Shah actually arrested him. First he told him that, okay, then come, I'm going to Orissa to fight a battle against the king, King Pratap Rudra. Then Sanatana Goswami refused that also. He said, no, I can't go with you. We are just going to create distress to the Lord, and I can't be a party to that. Then Hussain Shah was so upset, he told his bodyguards to arrest him and put him in the prison. And he was arrested, but of course Sanatana Goswami left. Now we can see how attached this king must have been to Sanatana Goswami. He was prepared to give him anything. He actually left the whole kingdom to Sanatana Goswami to run, because he loved to fight. He was a Kshatriya, warrior. He loved to fight. So he would go and fight. And Kshatriyas derive great pleasure, great joy in fighting. Hitting people and getting hurt. So, and running the kingdom was left up to Sanatana Goswami. Similarly, Rupa Goswami was the finance minister. He was in control of his whole treasury, finance. So we can see the two most responsible positions of the king of Bengal. And those days, Bengal was the most opulent place in India. And left it up to them. But Raghunath Das Goswami was very special. Raghunath Das Goswami is the son of a king, a very, very wealthy landlord. And he was the only son to the family. And Raghunath Das Goswami left home when he was just a young man. And he used to run away from home to meet with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And he used to be brought back to the house. His father would send the guards and sepoys, soldiers, to bring him back. And then finally they got him married. They got him married to a girl so beautiful that it has been described that she was like a demigoddess. She was like an apsara, beautiful as an apsara. But Raghunath Das Goswami was not interested in family life. He just kept on running away. But then, finally, when Raghunath Das Goswami was married, had a child, and everybody felt that now he is okay. Maya has tied him down. At that time, Raghunath Das Goswami left. But this time he left in a different way. He left at night when there were guards, bodyguards, guarding him constantly. Six guards and servants were guarding him all the time. But he escaped. And this time he did not take the normal, regular way to Puri, the regular path to Puri. He went through the village path and jungle. And in this way he actually came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put him in the custody of Sarup Damodar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Raghunath Das. But then he put him in the custody of Sarup Damodar. Therefore, Raghunath Das was known as Swaruper Raghunath, Raghunath of Sarup Damodar. And here also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing that Sarup Damodar will instruct you in details, more elaborately on these teachings. And The teachings is saddha sadhan. Saddha means the ultimate goal. And sadhan is the means to achieve that goal. What is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is Krishna prema. And the way we approach that, way we reach that goal is called sadhan. This aspect has been explained or established by Ramananda Roy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that this saddha sadhana aspect will be taught to you by Sarup Damodar, but he put him in the custody of Sarup Damodar. And so Raghunath Das Goswami, when they found out, his father naturally sent men. They knew where he would go. They would know that he has left for Jagannath Puri. So his men, his soldiers and guards, they went to search for him. And they couldn't find. And finally they ended up in Jagannath Puri. And there they found that Raghunath is there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they sent the message to his father. So when his mother received that news, she told his father that just bring him back home and tie him up with a chain. So this time we are not just going to be fooled by him, just tie him up with a chain. But his father said, look, the wealth like that of Indra and the beautiful wife, as beautiful as an apsara, they could not tie him down. Do you think a mere chain is going to tie him down? So, and he admitted that one who receives the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his materialistic life is finished. There's no hope for him. He's a lost cause. So better let him be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no need to try to bring him back. But his father used to send 2,000 rupees every month and send 6 servants to take care of him. But what did Raghunath Das Goswami do with that? He used to take that money that his father was sending and he would organize big feasts to feed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. But then after a while, Raghunath Das Goswami felt, I have taken shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and my father is a materialistic person. Why should I take money from him? It's not right that I'm taking money from my father. So he stopped taking the money from his father. So one day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sarup Damodar, Sarup, how come Raghunath is not inviting us to any feast anymore? So Sarup Damodar said that Raghunath stopped taking money from his father. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, very good, that's very good. After all, why should he take money from his father? But by the way, how does he maintain himself? Then Sarup Damodar said that he actually stands by the Singhadwar, the main gate of Jagannath temple. And when the pujaris go home in the afternoon, they give him some Jagannath Mahaprasad. So Mahaprabhu was very happy. He said, that's very good. And then after a while, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sarup Damodar, Sarup, I don't see Raghunath by the Singhadwar anymore. Then Sarup Damodar informed, yes, he stopped taking Mahaprasad also from the pujaris. So Mahaprabhu asked, then how does he maintain himself? Then he said that he sits with the beggars where Jagannath Prasad is distributed to the poor people, the beggars. So he sits there and he takes some prasad from there. So Mahaprabhu was very pleased. He said, yes, Raghunath is actually developing his devotion to the Lord and as a result of that he is becoming more and more detached. Like for a king's son of that, from that opulent background, can you imagine like sitting with the beggars and... In Jagannath temple, that's a custom still now. That's called Kangali Bhojan. Kangal means beggars and Bhojan means offering Jagannath Prasad to the beggars. So every day they sit there and they get this Prasad. They come and distribute Jagannath Prasad. Something like a food for life program. And then after a while, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Raghunath, I asked Sarup Damodar, Sarup Damodar, how come I don't see Raghunath anymore? And in taking prasad, he said, yes, he stopped taking that Kangali, the beggars' food distribution also. Then Mahaprabhu asked, then how does he maintain himself? And he said that he goes to the back of the Jagannath temple where there is a drain, and in that drain, the rotten prasad is thrown out. The prasad that is old and apparently rotten, that is thrown out. The thing, the foodstuff, that even the cows and animals also won't eat. Raghunath picks it up from there. He washes away the bad part and keeps the whatever is inside, if there is something which is good. After washing away, the rotten part will become washed away and the good part. So he will take that. He takes that. When Mahaprabhu heard that, he became so ecstatic. He just ran to where Raghunath Das used to live. Raghunath Das Goswami used to live next to Haridas Thakur's cottage. So he went there and he told Raghunath, "Raghunath, you are having this most delicious prasad, the most special prasad of Lord Jagannath, and you are depriving us of it." So Raghunath felt very embarrassed. He said, "No, Mahaprabhu, I am not." And Mahaprabhu said, "Oh, now you are lying to me also." And saying that the prasad that was kept at the corner of the room in a clay pot, Mahaprabhu reached to the clay pot and started to eat that prasad. And Raghunath Das Goswami tried to stop Mahaprabhu. He said, "Please, it's not meant for you." And Mahaprabhu started to take that prasad of Lord Jagannath and started to dance in ecstasy. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, Raghunath Das Goswami left. He couldn't stay in Jagannath Puri any longer. He was so heartbroken due to his separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went to Vrindavan, and he thought that he would give up his body and jumping from Govardhan. And Sanatana Goswami recognized, Sanatana Goswami could understand that. And so he prevented him from doing that. He said, "Raghunath," he told about his incidents with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatana Goswami also wanted to give up his body under the wheels of the chariot of Lord Jagannath. Sanatana Goswami, while traveling from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, he took bath in some polluted water in a pond, and as a result of that, he developed some ulcer. His whole body was afflicted with that ulcer. But whenever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see Sanatana Goswami, he would just embrace him. And Sanatana Goswami felt so bad that his body, which is contaminated with the ulcer, the pus and fluid is coming out of it from the ulcer, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is embracing, touching that. Mahaprabhu's divine body is being contaminated by his touch. He tried to stop, prevent Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't listen. He would just force to embrace him. And so finally Sanatana Goswami decided that he would give up this body under the wheel of the chariot of Lord Jagannath. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the super soul, he told Sanatana, "If by giving up my body, I could get Krishna, then I would give up thousands of Buddhist bodies, millions of bodies. By giving up the body, we are not going to get Krishna. This body is not your body. This body has been offered to me. It's my body, it's not your body anymore. So how can you destroy somebody else's property?" So Sanatana Goswami told that to Raghunath Das Goswami and told him that, "Look, Raghunath, you are so fortunate that you are with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all the time in Jagannath Puri. You witnessed his pastimes so closely, so intimately. And we are all thirsty about listening to those pastimes. So please, don't deprive us of the good fortune that you receive from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please share them with us. Please tell us." And that would, every evening they would get together and Raghunath Das Goswami would describe different pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. A lot of the materials of Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami got from Raghunath Das Goswami's description. Therefore, after every chapter, he thanked and offered his obeisances to Raghunath Das Goswami. Because the source was that. Of course, the reality is that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was not recalling these pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his memory. Those pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were revealed in his heart What he described is just a revelation that he perceived in the heart. Just like Valmiki wrote Ramayana. Valmiki wrote Ramayana before Lord Ramchandra appeared. How did he write the Ramayana? Because Ramchandra's pastimes were being revealed, being enacted in his heart. So, Raghunath Das Goswami used to narrate Mahaprabhu's pastimes to the devotees of Vrindavan. And eventually, Raghunath Das Goswami became so detached, so withdrawn, that he used to take just a cupful. Cupful means not a porcelain cup or a silver cup. A cup made of palash leaf. Palash is a kind of flowers that their leaves are round kind of a thing. They look like small lotus leaves, but much smaller. And with that, joining the thing together, it was made into a cone, and Raghunath Das Goswami used to take just that much buttermilk once every 3 days. And his servant one day thought, the servants have a tendency to feed the master as much as they can. So he thought that if he could get a bigger cup, then probably Raghunath Das Goswami would drink more buttermilk. It would carry more buttermilk. So he got a big palash leaf, relatively bigger palash leaf, and brought the buttermilk to Raghunath Das Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami, seeing that big palash leaf, he asked him, "Where did you get this leaf?" Then he pointed out that he got it from Shakhisthali. Now Shakhisthali is the place of Chandravali, is the garden of Chandravali, the grove of Chandravali. So Raghunath Das Goswami, his attachment to Srimati Radharani was so intense that he could not even bear to hear the name of Chandravali. He could not even bear to tolerate that a leaf has been collected from her garden. So he immediately threw that buttermilk away with the leaf. But one amazing thing is, one day Raghunath Das Goswami became sick. He was sick. So the Kaviraj, the Ayurvedic doctor, came to treat him, and he diagnosed that he had indigestion. Raghunath Das Goswami had indigestion. So everyone was surprised, like, how can Raghunath Das Goswami have indigestion when he takes just a little buttermilk once every 3 days? But the doctor insisted, no, he overate. And that's why he had indigestion. Then eventually they found out that Raghunath Das Goswami attended a feast in Vrindavan, in the spiritual Vrindavan, and he did overeat some sweet rice. That caused him the indigestion. So this also reveals another aspect of it, is that the renunciation in Krishna consciousness is not a dry thing. It's a very joyful, very relishable thing. Like experiencing the joy of the spiritual reality, they reject or give up the material attachments or attraction for material things. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Raghunath Das Goswami, and through Raghunath Das Goswami, he established the principle of renunciation. And what is the principle of renunciation? By getting the higher taste, one naturally gives up the lower taste. We don't have to artificially do anything. All we have to do is just become engaged in devotional service, and the rest will automatically happen. As we become involved in our devotional service, as we become engaged in our developing our loving relationship with Krishna, attachment or attraction for material things, attraction for the objects of the senses will automatically disappear. So what we have to do is just develop our love for Krishna. What we have to do is simply be engaged in our devotional service, and the rest will automatically happen. And it's not a dry thing, like param drishtva nivartante. By getting the higher taste, we'll naturally give up the attraction for lower taste. And this devotional service that Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully given us through this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, that will automatically lead us to that experiencing the higher taste, and as a result of that, the lower taste will automatically disappear. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.